good gifts of entering into his rest for the beauty that he gives to us. Our scripture reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So last week we're taking a break from Deuteronomy. We'll return to that in 2 weeks. Next week Matt will be preaching from Luke. But this morning wanted to consider the gift that keeps on giving, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hear his word from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. In a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and in their extreme poverty have overflowed into a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. In this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also a desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much has nothing left over, and whoever gathered little has no lack. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for the gift of your Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to grasp the height and the depth and the breadth and the width of that gift and all that you yet have for us, that we might glorify you and bless one another in this community. In fact, this world. Fill us, strengthen us, and equip us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Last week we took the break from Deuteronomy and we considered the great spiritual battle that we saw from Revelation 12. I thought today we'd go with a little bit calmer and more gentle a theme and talk about the grace of God to us in his Son. And I want to start, as we're considering this passage, you have been very faithful and a great blessing in your giving and in your serving this past year, both to Trinity, to one another, and to our community, and through our missionaries to the world. But as great a blessing as we are, we need to know that there's more. Yes, there's more need, but that's not what the focus of this passage is about. Instead, where Paul is calling us by the Holy Spirit is to focus on the grace of God in Christ, and the freedom and the joy and the blessing it brings to us, that we, like Christ, might be gracious. We need to be reminded of that because we're constantly challenged by it. Just this past week, I was reading some stories about Elon Musk. Apparently, the UN had put out a challenge to billionaires and said, "Help us feed the hungry." And Elon responded by pledging $6 billion. How does that make you feel about your giving this year? Well, Elon attached a proviso. First, how are you going to spend the money? Amazingly, the UN came up with a plan like that. As far as I know, he has not yet given, though he did pledge. But there's a caveat. If he gives $6 billion, he's only given 2% of his wealth. That misses the mark. In fact, if he's going to give $6 billion, he shouldn't let anybody else know that he's given $6 billion. Because that, too, misses the mark. In fact, if he gave all of his wealth, his gift pales in comparison to the gift of God the Father in the Son by the Holy Spirit. See, the real test of your giving is not whether it comes anywhere near $6 billion, which it doesn't. The real test of your giving is Jesus Christ. That's where we always must start. And Paul helps us here by focusing on this. Jesus was rich beyond all measure. Now, immediately we begin to think in earthly terms. That stuff, you know, that's fading away or has already been forgotten in a pile of paper someplace in the house of those with little children. But Jesus' richness is of much greater stuff. He created and rules over all the earth, all the universe, and all that's in it. His riches consist, to borrow from the Shorter Catechism, in that he is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in who he is. And we can add to that list, he's eternal God, that he's not dependent on anything or anyone outside of himself in his triune completeness with the Father and the Spirit. He's also not made of parts. He's one whole. The theologians like to use the term simple, because you don't see different things in him. And like mankind, made in his image, he's full of knowledge and righteousness and holiness. All those things are just a part of who he is. Scripture wants us to wrestle with this, and it simply takes all that he is and puts it into one word. Glory. And Scripture represents glory as this blazing light, much brighter than the sun, that overwhelms. That's what Jesus had. But for your sakes, he became poor. Poor in the sense of humbling himself, availing his glory, and setting aside all that he was, as he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Spirit, as he was born in a lowly stable. My family yesterday passed around a joke that they saw Mary and Joseph riding in to Bethlehem, and Joseph was knocking on the door looking for a room, and there's no. He's coming back and simply says to Mary, there's no room. And he says, I know, I should have made a reservation. And then the caption, thus began the first silent night. But think about that. He who created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them had no place to be born. And wound up most likely in a cave that was used as a stable. Now, open-air stables don't smell all that nice. Imagine a cave. He became poor for your sake. He who filled all space was born a baby. It's hard to imagine his setting aside his infinity. He who was above time put himself into time, where he had to sleep and learn and grow. He who was always the same in becoming the Christ child was constantly changing and growing. He became completely dependent upon others. including the Father and the Spirit, but his mother and father and so many others, many of whom wanted to put him to death. He who was the same through and through is now the God-man in some mysterious way that we cannot fathom. Even his knowledge, righteousness, and truth were veiled and needed to be growing and maturing. For your sake, he became poor. He did that to please the Father and to serve him, but to save and redeem you, so that through his poverty, you might become rich. Rich by the grace of the Father, given through this work of the Son, by the power of the Spirit. How rich? Well, God himself and the Holy Spirit is now in each and every believer. God himself is with us, in us. The riches of his mercy cover you, so that as the Father looks at you, he sees no sin, but complete obedience. That's eternally rich. New life. Paul celebrated it best. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Or by his divine power, the Holy Spirit, he has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you need for life and godliness is yours through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellencies, by which he has granted to us his precious and great promises, that through them, listen carefully, through them you might become partakers of the divine nature. Escape the corruption that is in this world because of your own sinful desires. In fact, God the Father, because of this work of the Son, by the Spirit, has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Heaven not being someplace far away, but the unseen spiritual reality all around us, all of the time. That's the riches that is yours in Christ. And all of that is summed up in this word, grace. Grace is the love and power of God, secured and at work in you and through you. That's rich. That grace in and through you, not just setting you free from sin, but so that you can love God and love your neighbor and be his blessing. That's what Paul is celebrating here. That was the gift of the advent, of Christ coming. That was the grace given to the Macedonians. The first section here, again, celebrates the Macedonians, who verse 2 makes clear, they were going through a severe test of affliction and poverty themselves. Apparently, there was a drought going on in part of the world. Yet, because of their abundance of joy, people, in the midst of a drought, they had an abundance of joy. They had the grace of God to see what eternally and infinitely mattered. And out of that abundance of joy, it overflowed into a wealth of generosity. That's what God's grace is all about, the riches of Christ at work in them. Verse 3, not that they necessarily gave a huge amount, but they gave according to their means. As God provided for them, so they blessed others, trusting God to keep providing. In fact, it says here, they begged Paul for the favor of helping the saints in need. In verse 5, first they gave themselves to the Lord. That is, Father, what would you have us give? What is your will? How would you have us trust you? Lord, provide so that we in turn can share this grace, this joy, this abundance with others. And as they gave themselves to the Father, by the will of God, they gave themselves to others. But Paul's writing this letter to the Corinthians. And so verse 7, He reminds them, you too had a desire to give, and you started collecting it. But somewhere or another, you got distracted. You lost sight. You lost sight of how and why and what to give. They lost sight of trusting God. Seems to be a hint here that they didn't have much to give, and perhaps they thought, well, yeah, you know, we don't really have that much, and look at how much everybody else has given. What good will ours do? Perhaps they lost sight that they were part of a family. That giving to God's family is giving to the Lord and sharing with them the gift that they had received because of the sacrifice of the Son. And so Paul gently rebukes them to consider what they started and to get back in line. Not giving out of an abundance that they don't have, but an abundance of what they do have, in keeping with what God has given them. And Paul finally here reminds them of God's principle taught to his people in regard to the manna. Again, verse 15 here just reminds us, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. You know, one of the great lies in our society is he who has the most toys wins. It's learned in the nursery, where a toy can sit all by itself for weeks until one child picks it up. And then all of a sudden, it's somebody else's. Mine! In God's economy, it's not about having a lot or having a little. It's about having Him and showing that by trust. And Paul's writing all this by the Holy Spirit's leading to remind all of us, it's now your turn. Your turn to give God's way as the Lord keeps on giving through you. You pass that on to others. And again, the giving here is not about money. Money is simply a sign, a good barometer of where our heart is in relationship to the grace we've received in Christ Jesus. And so what he's challenging us about is, are you, by the grace of God, giving your time, giving your energy, giving your gifts and your abilities, and your money, all of which is simply presenting your whole self as a living sacrifice back to God because of the mercies that are ours in Christ Jesus. And so again, Paul just lays before us some simple challenges. Are you first and foremost giving yourself to the Lord as an act of worship? Lord means he gets to decide. Father, what would you have me give? How would you have me give? Where and to whom would you have me give? And help me to do that as a way to glorify you and to give thanks to you and to proclaim you because of all you've given to me. Secondly, this means to be asking myself, am I growing in understanding all that is mine? How rich I am. It's a startling contrast in Revelation when God speaking to one of the churches says, you think you're rich, but you're pitiful, poor, and blind because you're looking at the wrong things. And so we need to keep on coming back to the Lord and to see what He has given, this grace that's ours in Christ Jesus. For that, we need to keep on asking to be filled with the Spirit so we know what we've been given and so that we know what others need. It's easy to write a check and just drop it off. Most often, that's not what others truly need. Lord, fill me with your Spirit that I might see what the real need is and how to bless and provide and help others to see you. Fourthly, we need to just trust. Trust that God is going to provide and work through. You know, one of those signs that your trust level is low is when the phone rings, you cringe. You all know that feeling, right? Instead, we need to think of the phone rings. God has another opportunity for me to trust him. Instead of thinking, Lord, I've used up all my trust this week. Just can we leave it to voicemail and I'll look at it next week? Trust is that God provides. Not what other people want. They're not in charge. Again, we get calls here on a regular basis, and you know, someone will say, well, they're turning off my power in an hour. Can you pay my bill for me? And my question is this the first time you found out about this? No, I've gotten notices for the last 3 months. Why are you calling me now? Again, just because someone else is having a crisis doesn't mean you are. Lord, what would you have us do? How would you have us help? Doesn't mean being mean. It's again, Lord, you're in charge of this. What is it you are about? Because unless the Lord blesses, what we do in vain. Paul makes clear here, we don't do this out of obligation. We don't do this to gain anything. This is an act of gratitude and of joy and of grace, which only happens if I'm doing all those other things. But ultimately, this is about God's glory according to his promises. Again, in the next chapter, Paul simply writes, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God's able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it's written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. That's the grace of God. Not only is he wanting to bless you, but as he makes you his blessing to others. His praise, his thanksgiving will increase all the more. And I would put to you in a world that is constantly trying to outdo each other and how much they have. One of the clear signs of God's grace is how much can I give? And how would you have me give? That the glory might be his. See, this grace of God to us in Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit is the gift that keeps on giving. And as we have received, may we so share to the praise of his glory because of his grace. Let's pray. O Lord, help us to see even now the richness of who you were and all that you had. The gift you gave in laying that aside. The gift you gave in sharing all that was yours restored to you once again with us, your people. And so, Lord, help us to see ourselves in you and help us to give back to you our time, our abilities, our possessions for your glory and as your blessing. Lead us, strengthen our faith, help us to be your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us celebrate that good gift with hymn number 195, Joy to the World. Stand as we sing.